Well, the three questions which I have, which Robert gave me, the first one is where will we spend eternity? In the new earth, the new heaven, New Jerusalem, where will we be? Second question, what did John mean, the Apostle John, that is, by the Antichrist is already here? What does that mean? Third question, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. That's important. Already here? Well, let's see if we can answer that. Would you open to the book of Revelation, chapter 21? Let the scriptures speak for themselves. Revelation chapter 21 to begin with. I'm going to read from verse 1 through to 7. And then 9 to 11. Revelation 21, from verse 1 through to 7, and then 9 to 11. Let you find it. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle or dwelling of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts, and he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Question is, where will we be spending eternity? Let's look from verse 9 to 11. Then one of the angels who had seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We could read down for more description, but we won't do that. Where will we be spending in eternity? The earth, new earth, that is, the new heaven and new Jerusalem. And it seems all three are possible. We'll be going from one to the other, no doubt. Let's go back to chapter 3 of Revelation. Can we do that as well? Go back to chapter 3 of Revelation. And look at one verse, verse 12. Verse 12, it mentions the New Jerusalem. Chapter 3 and verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God. And I will write on him my new name. That applies to you and to me, of course, as a believer. And he says here, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. I'll write on him my new name, whatever that may be. So clearly, we are going to be in the New Jerusalem without any doubt at all. And going back to Revelation 21 again. Look in verse 9, Revelation 21, verse 9. We've got one of these seven angels speaking. He said, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So they suggest, obviously, the marriage of the Lamb with the bride has already taken place. We know that in chapter 20. And here we've got the time when we are called the Lamb's wife. So we're going to be spending time clearly in the New Jerusalem. You can see that in verse 10. He showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out from God, out of heaven, having the glory of God. And we should, of course, be there in the New Jerusalem. So we'll have heaven, we'll have the new earth, new heaven, new earth, and this New Jerusalem as well, as the Lord creates it. It was very wonderful. You know John chapter 14, don't you, very well, verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, this is it. I go to prepare a place for you, my church. You and I will be with him there. We'll be in heaven. We'll be in the New Jerusalem. That's coming down to the earth. But it's probably coming down to the earth after the millennium. So we'll be here during the millennium. And then when the New Jerusalem comes down, we should be living in the New Jerusalem. That seems fairly clear on that one. Would you go back to Hebrews 12? Hebrews chapter 12, please. A bit more information there. Hebrews chapter 12. And look from verse 22. Here's a focus on what is called Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Hebrews 12 and verse 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. They're going to be there as well. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Firstborn is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we belong to him. We're the church of the firstborn. Who are registered in heaven. So clearly we're going to be in heaven. We're registered there. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now that means all believers, Old Testament saints, the church, tribulation saints and martyrs, and those who are saved in the tribulation period, who survive Antichrist hostilities, will all be in the New Jerusalem and will all be in the millennium as well. Interesting, that is it. So we come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, in verse 22, Hebrews 12, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, registered in heaven. You notice that? You're registered in heaven already. Isn't that wonderful? There's your eternal security, if you like. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You're registered in heaven. Hallelujah for that. And the spirits of just men, that's all believers, as I said, made perfect through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and so on. You already have that. So that's very wonderful from Hebrews chapter 12. Now, the saints of all ages, then, that's the Old Testament saints, the church saints, you and I, and the tribulation saints and martyrs will all be in the New Jerusalem together. That's very wonderful, that, isn't it? So where will we be spending eternity? Well, yes, the new earth and the new heaven and the new Jerusalem as well. So there we are. So we know where we're going to be. You're going to be dashing around serving the Lord in one place or another. New Jerusalem, heaven itself, and the new Jerusalem is coming down to the earth after the millennium. So that's your home. You've got your mansion in heaven and you will have one in the new Jerusalem. So you'll be traveling around as the Lord wants you to serve him, traveling from one place to another, and the millennial earth and the new earth as well. So we're going to be busy traveling, aren't we? All right. Now, the second question, what did the Apostle John mean? The Antichrist is already here. Well, let's look on to first letter of John, 1 John chapter 2. Let's go there. That's the second question. What does John mean? The Antichrist is already here. Well, let's look at 1 John First letter of John, chapter two. Now, if you want to chip in, please do chip in and make comment. Don't just wait for me to finish. Chip in if you wish. First John, chapter two, verse 18 to 23. John writes, First John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour, the last times. And as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, that's the one who is the final Antichrist. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. That's the apostates in the final period now. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things from the Scriptures. I have not written to you, he says, because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? Verse 22, very important verse. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. In other words, one who denies the deity of Christ and God the Father, he is an Antichrist, small a. In other words, the world at large has been Antichrist for a very long time, pretty much 2,000 years. The anti-Christian attitude. The world is like that. It is anti-God, anti-Christian. So there are antichrists, those who reject Christ, those who reject God the Father. Unbelievers have nothing to do with the Lord. They are, generally speaking, the anti-Christian spirit, anti-God, anti-Christ. We've been with us ever since. Well, here we've got first letter of John, written about AD 90. Back there, anti-Christ spirit, anti-Christ attitude. That's certainly very true, isn't it? So in one sense, the anti-Christian, small a, anti-Christian spirit has been with us all these 2,000 years. But there will be, of course, the Antichrist to come. And this person will be a substitute for Christ. He will come and take over the world, the Antichrist. He will dominate the population of this world. He will demand worship in the temple. We know that. In the newly built Jerusalem temple, he will demand we worship there, Daniel chapter 9. And very clearly, he will be the substitute or the one who takes the place of Christ. Now, that is unique. But the anti-Christian attitudes in the population ever since, well, the beginning of the church. Anti-Christian, against Christ, won't have him. So I think that's fairly plain. We should go back to Mark's gospel, please. Way back to Mark's gospel. And the one we want is chapter 13, the apocalyptic chapter of Mark 13. Mark 13 and verse 22 will do. Mark 13, verse 22. The words of Jesus, of course, and it will be the period of the great tribulation, according to verse 14, the abomination of desolation. Verse 22 then. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, that's not the church. The elect here is Israel. Let's make that plain. The church has gone to be with the Lord. The elect nation is Israel. False Christ, false prophets are rising and all around us today, especially false prophets. Showing signs and wonders? Well, that's not yet. Maybe that will be certainly in the Great Tribulation. And you can see that in the same chapter, in verse 14, about the abomination of desolation being in the temple. And he tells the Jewish people to flee Jerusalem and they'll go to Petra. Get out of Jerusalem. Verse 15 and 16 show the urgency of that. Very clear. Pray that your flight may not be in winter, in verse 18, because Petra is full of snow in the wintertime. So there we have it. So maybe many people, verse 21, many people are saying, look, here is the Christ. You mean the Antichrist, the false Christ. Look here, he's there. He said, don't believe it. He's an imposter. He's false. False Christ, false prophets, verse 22, as I said, will be here. When the tribulation comes, this is a context from verse 14 onwards. The days of the great tribulation. And you can see in verse 24 and 25, the judgments of God begin. Then the second coming of the Lord in verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with great power and glory with him, send his angels and so on, gather the rest of the Jews back to Israel. So this is preceding the second coming of the Lord. So there's a great tribulation, and right at the end of it, the Lord comes to stop it all. Now we know that very clear. So there are many antichrists today, as 1 John tells us from the early beginning of the church. Those who oppose Christ, those who are against Christ, won't have anything to do with him at all. They reject him. That is the anti-Christian attitude, the anti-Christian spirit of man, to reject Christ. So I think that's very plain and seems to be very clear on that one. So the many antichrists about today, there have been from the beginning of the early church, those who oppose Christ, the false prophets, even false Christ coming. I'm Christ, I'm the Messiah. They stood about that around today. One man said, yes, I'm God, I'm the Messiah. That's today, mind you. So John mentioned the Antichrist already here. Many anti-Christian spirit in hearts of men. The spirit of man is Antichrist. The attitude of man, the will of man, generally in the world, is anti-Christian. And they are against Christ. And therefore, they are against the thoughts of Christ to be Savior. They're going to get a shock when he comes again, won't they? So I hope that John meant the Antichrist is already here and right through this church age. That's very true as well. And the third question is, well, very similar. The spirit of Antichrist is here. Well, that's more or less what I've been saying. The spirit of Antichrist, the attitude of man to be against Christ, against God in the world population. Of course, it's obvious today, isn't it? We know that's clear. Just go back finally to 1 John, where we were before, and look at a different chapter. In chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3. First letter of John, written about AD 90. 1 John chapter 4, and look at verses 2 and 3. Well, verse 1 says, beloved, writing to Christians, do not believe every spirit, what every spirit of man says, that is, but test the spirits. Find out more what they are, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, right back there and now. By this you know the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will guide us. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. We say that. We believe Christ has come in the flesh to become our Savior at the cross. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, the human attitude. The spirit of man is opposed to any thought of obedience to Christ, or believing in him and being saved. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So Antichrist spirit in man, against him, is very much in the world, and increasingly so, very much in our day, as we already know that. So there's anti-Christian spirit, spirit of Antichrist in man, Antichrist, anti-God, was growing and growing and growing, isn't it? That's very clear. And this Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, the one person, capital A Antichrist, one man to come in the world, is a man who declares himself to be a substitute ruler instead of Christ. He will dominate the world, Satan's man. And he will dominate the world, as we know, the God of this world will put him in place and into power. So the Antichristian spirit is already here, been here right from when John first wrote his letter here, clearly, plain enough, and warning of in the last days, said Jesus, this particularly will rise up very strongly, this anti-Christian spirit. Like the people in Jesus' day, we will not have this man to rule over us. That's true. So that's what John meant. The anti-Christian spirit is already here, but the Antichrist will yet come and still in our future. We shan't see him, of course. That's very wonderful. But when he does come, he will substitute himself to be the Christ, falsely so-called. And he will sit in the temple demanding worship from the Jewish people. And they would be deceived by him and the false prophet also. So we're in 1 John 4, verse 2 and 3. Go over to the second letter, would you? Turn over the page or two to the second letter of John. Similar statement to John. And verse 7. Second letter of John. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They deny him coming in humanity. The sort of person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Those who deny that the Son of God has come into the flesh, Jesus Christ, they deny that. That's antichristian spirit. You don't accept the deity of Christ. There are many, of course, so-called Christian who believe that. As we know, the forget the church now, what is it called? The one church that denies the deity of Christ. Can't think of it for a moment. Come back to me, they'll say. So the spirit of Antichrist is already here. That's plain enough. But it's going to become more personified, focused on one man who claimed to be the one substitute for Christ, demanding worship from the Jew in the temple, and he will have worldwide control, and he will deceive many of the world and the Jew as well, the very elect. That's the Jew. So first and second John are very helpful on this one. So we spend eternity, new earth, new heaven, and the new Jerusalem. Second question, what did John mean by the anti-Christian spirit, or the Antichrist is already here? The anti-Christian spirit is in humanity, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-everything relating to him. That's all around us and growing until the one Antichrist comes, and he'll be the biggest deceiver and substitute for Christ, sitting in the new Jerusalem, in the new temple of Jerusalem, demanding worship. And then they realize, the Jewish people realize they have been deceived indeed, and they will turn very nasty on Israel in the second half of the tribulation, that is. So I hope those answers give some help, a bit of light on these scriptures. If anybody got any comments, questions, raise the scripture, please do. Any comments, any questions on that?